After some back and forth, the judge asked me, "How do you plead?" I was panic-stricken. On the one hand, I knew I was guilty. The policeman had asked me to leave, and I had stayed. But I didn't feel guilty. I knew I had a right to eat in that tax-supported cafeteria, and any law that said I couldn't was no law at all. I desperately looked to my left, where the older of my two lawyers was standing. He was the dean of black lawyers in Georgia. He'd risked life and limb for nearly 50 years to represent black people in courthouses in small towns where he dare not even spend the night. Now, nearly in his dotage, he appeared to me to be asleep on his feet. I turned in great fear to the lawyer on my right, who said in a whisper, "Not guilty, you fool." And I had the presence of mind to drop those last two words, or I wouldn't be standing here now. A few years later, I needed a lawyer again. I'd been elected to the Georgia legislature, but was prevented from taking my seat because of my opposition to the war in Vietnam. This time, my case went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. Now, I'd never been to the Supreme Court before. I sat and listened to Georgia's Attorney General argue that Georgia had a perfect right to refuse to seat me. And he had a deep Southern voice. The courtroom was warm. I found myself hypnotically nodding in agreement. And my lawyer, Victor Rabinowitz, elbowed me and said, "Stop that, you fool." Not the first time I'd been so addressed by a lawyer. But during the Attorney General's argument, Supreme Court Justice Byron White asked him, "Is that all you have? Is that all you have? You come all this way and that's all you have?" And I turned to my attorney and I said, "We're winning, aren't we?" And he said, "You bet we are." Chief Justice Earl Warren's decision in that case, Bond v. Floyd, was more than a victory for the First Amendment. It was a reaffirmation of my constituents' right to free choice in casting their votes. And it was a reaffirmation of the centrality of the legal system in all our lives. Lawyers, judges, were central to the success of the modern movement for civil rights. As Claude Sitton, who served as the Southern correspondent for the New York Times in the early 1960s, put it, "If you think Martin Luther King desegregated the South, you don't know Judge Elbert Tuttle and the record of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals." The Fifth Circuit then encompassed six states of the old Confederacy. After the landmark Brown decision struck down school desegregation, and with it the doctrine of separate but equal, Mississippi Senator James O. Eastland told a cheering audience in a small Mississippi town, he said, "On May 17, 1954, the Constitution of the United States was destroyed because the Supreme Court disregarded the law and decided that integration was right." He told his white audience, "You're not required to obey any court which passes out such a ruling. In fact," he said, "you're obliged to defy it." It was in this atmosphere, oddly reminiscent of more recent times, that the Fifth Circuit would be called upon to turn Brown's promise into reality and to expand it far beyond the schoolhouse door. Its judges would strike down barriers to equality in voting, in jury selection, and employment, and in the process formulating the remedy of affirmative action, the just spoils of a righteous war. At great personal sacrifice, and as today, in the face of threats on their lives, these judges took the South and the nation from white robe Klan violence to black robe justice and helped to save us from ourselves. Now the independence of the judiciary is once again threatened, and that threatens you. It threatens all of us. In the past, when filibusters threatened the passage of civil rights laws, we didn't change the rules, we changed the votes, and we won. Changing the rules because you can't play fair and win is the coward's way out. If your argument is right and your cause is just, you don't need to change the rules. Now lawyers, as Charles Hamilton Houston used to say, can be social engineers or parasites on society.